In this second presentation, we'll look more closely at what we mean by God's indwelling spirit. We are created to be in communion with God. Grace draws us from the insecurity of our egoism towards God, who is at the heart of our lives. When we respond to this divine invitation, we're drawn to share the life, the prayer communion of Jesus himself. It's God who initiates prayer. It's God who draws us into ever more intimate communion. Transforming union happens as we allow ourselves to be drawn into divine communion by Jesus' own spirit of love, the love he shares with the God he calls Abba, Father. Paul writes to the Romans chapter 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. To the Samaritan woman, Jesus promised, the water that I'll give will become in you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. On a later occasion, Jesus promised that rivers of living, life-giving water would flow from the heart of those who believe in him. John adds the following comment, Jesus was speaking of the Spirit which those who believe in him were to receive. At the Last Supper, we hear Jesus say, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And Jesus also, in the prayer at the Last Supper, says, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The love with which you loved me is the Holy Spirit, and it's in Jesus. And he wants it to be in us so that through the Spirit, Jesus is himself in a loving communion with us. That God dwells in those who open their hearts to receive God is a constantly recurring theme in the writings of the mystics. John of the Cross writes in his spiritual canticle, the Word, the Son of God, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is hidden in a person's innermost being, what we've been calling the heart. And in Living Flame, John writes, God dwells in us and favours us with God's love. God says to us, I am yours. I am for you. I'm delighted to be what I am so that I can be yours and give myself to you. What an extraordinary insight into the God revealed by Jesus, the God we call love. And John again, in his Maxims on Love, writes, enter within yourself. Work in the presence of the Spirit, the presence of your spouse, who is ever present, loving you. And in the spiritual canticle, John writes, O most beautiful of creatures, transcendent spirit, you long to know where your beloved is and where you may find your beloved so as to be united with him. The one you love dwells within you. You are yourself God's tabernacle, God's secret hiding place. Rejoice, exult, all you could possibly desire, all your heart's longing is so close, so intimate, as to be within you. You cannot be without God. There is a danger here that we might think that because God is present in the center of our being, we might need to withdraw from the world to be in communion with God. No, God is at the heart of everything that exists. We cannot be in communion with God if we are out of touch with our own heart. In the same way, to the extent that we cut ourselves off from the world, we're cutting ourselves off from God. Communion with God is expressed in mission, in making space for the risen Jesus to love others through us. In the early years of the 3rd century, Origen writes in his paper on prayer, he writes, praying without ceasing means uniting prayer with the works that it is our duty to perform and joining appropriate action to our prayer. Since virtuous deeds and the fulfillment of what we are commanded to do are included as a part of prayer. If praying without ceasing means anything humanly possible, it can mean only this, says Origen, that we call the whole life of a holy person a great synthesis of prayer. What we normally call prayer is only a small part of praying. A 14th century German Dominican, Meister Eckhart, writes, many people withdraw from the crowd and wish always to be alone, finding peace in this and in being in church. Is this the best thing to do? And he replies, no, it isn't. Those for whom things are right truly have God as their companion. And whoever has God truly as a companion is with God in all places, both on the street and among people, as well as in church or in the desert or a monastic cell. No one can hinder the person who possesses God aright. Why is this so? It is so because such people possess God alone, keeping their gaze fixed upon God, and thus all things become God for them. And Meister Eckhart continues, such people bear God in all their deeds and in all the places where they go. And it is God alone who is the author of everything they do. we keep our eyes fixed on God alone, then truly God must work in us, and nothing, neither the crowd nor any place, can hinder God in this. And so nothing will be able to hinder us if we desire and seek God alone and take pleasure in nothing else. While acknowledging the truth of this, we also acknowledge the special importance of interior communion with God, and so of the inner journey of interior prayer. God is present at the heart of creation, but only insofar as we are in touch with God at our centre will we be in touch with God's presence in creation. If not, we will find ourselves dissipated and distracted in the whirl of things and events that happen around us and to us. For only to the extent that we are centered in God can we avoid being lost among the flotsam and jetsam of this world. What is important in both the inner and outer journey is to be in communion with God as we journey. In all our experiences, it's important that our heart be awake and sensitive to the divine presence. If I'm cluttered inside, my communion with God will be disturbed. Hence the importance of interior prayer. Hence the focus of these reflections on our inner journey. Discovering God within and being sensitive to the movement of God's Spirit in our minds and hearts make possible a more interior, intimate communion with God. It also makes possible a closer communion with God in our outer experiences. A 14th century Rhineland mystic, Johannes Tauler, has this advice. He writes, "Each time you are granted the solemn moment of recollection, leave your outer forms for devotion to one side if they become a hindrance to you, for inner prayer is precious divine life. Concentrate upon what leads you most to love, for instance, the life, the sufferings, the divine wounds of Christ, God's essence, the Blessed Trinity, the power, the wisdom, the goodness of God, the good things which God has done for you. Whatever stirs you most, go with that, full of gratitude, into the ground of your soul and wait for God there." And he continues, "Doing this with love enables us to receive God much more effectively than any outer spiritual exercise. The more inward something is, the better it is, for the external things derive their value from what is within. It is as if you had a good wine which was strong enough to change a whole ton of water into the best wine. It's the same with the life within, a single drop of which can lend our life of exterior devotion a higher value." They're the words of Johannes Tauler in his sermon number 39. We all know what it's like to be distracted, to be out of touch, to feel lost. We know how easily we get caught up in the outer world and lose or fail to find ourselves. If this is descriptive of our whole life, we are indeed in a desperate situation. It was Jesus who asked the question, what's the point of winning the whole world if you forfeit your life? Is there anything which is worth exchanging for life? Words found in Mark chapter 8. As individuals and as a culture, we can be quite brilliant in our ability to discover, use, and even to a degree understand the external world. How good are we at coming to know and stay in touch with ourselves? Our deeds, our involvement, our engagement with the world and with other people are truly ours only when what we do comes from within, comes from the heart. To discover ourselves and to live authentic lives, we must undertake this inner journey. We must be attuned to God's Spirit inviting us from the depths of our heart. Many people give us advice on how to do this. The advice we receive can be quite conflicting and confusing. Teresa of Jesus gives her answer, and it's simple, direct, and uncompromising. She tells us that the way to make the inner journey is to pray. If we are praying, other things can help. If we're not praying, all the advice and all the methods in the world are at best a way of filling in time. At worst, they are further ways of deceiving ourselves. Teresa tells us that if we want to get to know ourselves, we must learn to pray. And she's an acknowledged master in showing us how to do it. Jesus invites us to pray always. See Luke chapter 18, verse 1. To enjoy such prayer, we commit ourselves to make space in our lives to focus on God within. The purer our inner gaze and the more intimate our inner communion, the more we will respond to God's presence in the world, as well as God's word, God's self-communicating, coming to us in and through every creature, every event, and every encounter. Constantly aided by God's word, especially by the word made flesh, we focus on God's Spirit and so on our life in the Spirit, what we call our spiritual life. Our listening to God within and our responding in love to God, our communion with God within our own being in the experience we call prayer. At the same time, we do not forget that this focus allows the Spirit to tune our being ever more sensitively to God's word. When, through our communion with God's inner Spirit, we experience an echo of God's word that comes to us from outside, we are vibrating to to the divine harmony, the music of the spheres. We are giving ourselves over to the gravity of grace, drawing us to the heart of the Father. We experience our heart in tune with the heart of God. Let me read for you these words from Augustine in his Confessions 10:27. He writes, or rather he prays, "Late have I loved you, O beauty so ancient and so new. Late have I loved you, for you were within me, but I was outside. I sought you outside, and in my ugliness I fell upon the lovely things you've made. You were with me, but I was not with you. I was kept from you by those things. Yet had they not been in you, they would not have been at all." And Augustine goes on to speak of the five senses. He writes, "You called, you cried to me. You broke open my deafness. You sent forth your beams and shone upon me and chased away my blindness. You breathed fragrance upon me and I drew in my breath. And now I pant for you. I tasted you. And now I hunger and thirst for you. You touched me. And I burn for your peace." To share in such a religious experience, we must respect our hearts. In the book of Sirach, chapter 37, we read, "Heed the counsel of your own heart. No one is more faithful to you than is your heart. Your soul often forewarns you. It's better than seven watchmen in a tower. While you heed your heart, beg the Most High to guide you in the path of truth." And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23, we read, "More than all else, keep watch over your own heart, since there are the well springs of life." We are to listen humbly and attentively to others, listening for God's word. But we must remember that God dwells within us, and God respects our heart. When God speaks his word to us, we will know, for the spirit within will say yes to what we hear. We have to stop being so busy that we end up destroying our heart. We have to stop heeding the many voices that call us without truly caring for us. We have to stop running away from our heart. The Japanese have a word for busy. It's isogashi. And iso means the heart. Gashi, destruction. So they're telling us in their language, if I'm busy, too busy, I'm destroying my heart. Let's listen again to Augustine in his tract on John chapter 18, 10, 1. He writes, return to the heart. Why are you running away from yourselves? Why are you getting lost outside yourselves, entering on deserted ways? You're wandering aimlessly. Come back. To where, we ask? To the Lord. It can be done without delay. Return immediately to your heart. Exiled from your own self, you wander outside. You fail to know yourself, you who want to know the source of your existence. Come back, pleads Augustine. Come back. Return to the heart. See there what you can learn about God. For the image of God is there. In your inner self dwells Christ. In your inner self, you are being renewed after God's image. If we are attentive to God's Spirit in our hearts, we will hear God's word in creation. I'll read to you this short poem by Joseph Plunkett, who writes, I see his blood upon the rose, and in the stars the glory of his eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snows, his tears fall from the skies. I see his face in every flower. The thunder and the singing of the birds are but his voice, and carved by his power, rocks are his written words. All pathways by his feet are worn. His strong heart stirs the ever-beating sea. His crown of thorns is twined with every thorn. His cross in every tree. Thayan de Chardin, a Jesuit paleontologist, writes, raise me up then, O matter, to the heights, through struggle and separation and death. Raise me up until at long last it becomes possible for me in perfect chastity to embrace the universe. Now the earth can certainly clasp me in her giant arms. She can swell me with her life or take me back into the dust. She can deck herself out for me with every charm, every horror, every mystery. She can intoxicate me with her perfume, her touch. She can cast me to my knees in expectation of what is maturing in her breast. But her enchantment can no longer do harm to me, since she has become for me the body of him who is and of him who is to come. These are the final words of Thayat's The Divine Menu. And so I conclude. To know God's word, let us grow in knowledge of Jesus, the perfect human expression, the incarnation of God's word. To experience God's Spirit, let us accept Jesus' offer to share his prayer communion with God. And let us constantly pray, Come, Holy Spirit.